analysis.
Professor Mashupia Herbert Masirumbule is my guest, and we're talking about his opinion piece in News 24 entitled ANC Risks Distorting the History of Liberation Struggle at the Altar of Justice. Prof, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your time.
Good evening, Aubrey. Thank you so much for hosting me.
Very interesting title to your opinion piece. ANC risks the history of liberation struggle at the altar of justice. I imagine that the ANC would argue that it's not them that are risking the history of the liberation struggle. In fact, it is the MK founders, MK party founders, who are former members of the ANC that have usurped the name, the brand, and that is a distortion of the liberation struggle, Prof.
Thank you once more. If that is what they'll be saying, they will be aiding and abetting the MK party to distort history. My argument, Aubrey, is that in the first place, the judicial process was not necessary for the purpose of deciding on the question of political identity. I am coming from the premise that political identity, it is not necessarily trademark. And I'm a bit worried that when one tried to listen to the arguments, and also obviously in the court of law, the whole approach is to deal with the issue of political identity as if it is a trademark. Let me explain what I'm saying. A trademark, like as I'm arguing in the article, is not the same as political identity, as this is a function of history, not a means to ensure fair trade among economic actors. And I'm further arguing that the danger of conflating political identity with trademark in the squabble about the MK party's name and logo is that at the stroke of a pen, the court may prescribe history through the technicalities of the legal process, not narrative analysis for accurate reconstruction of the past for the historicity of the struggle for liberation. And I'm arguing that, Aubrey, the courts are there to interpret the law. They are not there to interpret history, which, as I have been emphasizing in the piece, is that political identity is a function of history. And therefore, the whole issue ought to be dealt with within the context of the liberation struggle. In other words, the whole issue ought to be dealt with politically with a thorough analysis of the history of the liberation struggle. That's basically what I'm trying to argue in the piece, yeah. Aubrey.
I don't think anybody can argue against the logic of that, Prof. But somebody may add and say, the Prof is correct, but the Prof cannot argue or ignore the fact that the trademark argument is, in fact, part of the political conversation. It is part of the political fight for political identity. Some may argue that way. How would you respond?
That's exactly where the conflation is. Because trademark, if you are to go back to the whole jurisprudence around trademark, it was essentially about fair trade amongst those that are in the economic space, right? But political identity, it's something different. It's more about history, as shaped by human agency. And in this case, it is even more so. When we talk about the ANC, it does have a long history. And by the way, the history of the liberation struggle is inextricably linked to, or it can even be the history of the oppressed masses of this country. And therefore, that history is very important to South Africans. All what I'm trying to say is that issues of this sort should actually be dealt with politically. And the ANC has been in power for quite some time. Because if it had actually made sure that they provide thought leadership on the history of the liberation struggle, even if tomorrow Zuma will come with his formation to say that I claim this, because that will have been in the psyche of society, probably they will just slap it off. Because in the mindset, in the psyche of society, the ownership of the MK, of the local, will have been a common sense to everybody. To an extent that when somebody tries to come and claim it, they'll just say, but this one, he is just not clearly honest, you know. So my biggest challenge is that when you pursue this issue as if it is a trademark issue, the law will have to come in, and obviously the law works on the basis, the court works on the basis of the law, interpretation of the law, not necessarily interpretation of the history. And it might, by a stroke of a pen, rewrite the entire history of the liberation struggle, and that risk reducing the historical profundity of the liberation struggle to just some trademark law. And that will obviously be so unfortunate. So that's the point that I'm trying to make.
I get you. So if I understand you correctly, Prof, you're saying that the ANC has given by the litigation process, has given MK more import in the political conversation than it ought to have. In fact, it was the ANC's miscalculation of the whole matter of arguing this issue of the trademark as if it's a commercial argument, and you are saying that that commercial argument is the wrong way to have a conversation about a political identity, because it's almost as if Edgar's is having a fight with True Words here, but actually it's actually about historical identity of a particular moment in a people's historical epoch, as it were. Here's my question. Here's my question to you. I suppose I understand your argument from an academic point of view. I imagine, though, that the ANC is going to argue that the political battle has to be fought on all fronts, including the area of what might seem to be a commercial pettiness. Draw for me, from your perspective, Prof. Back and explain to us how the MK party emerges with this name to the point where we are now having these two political parties fighting for this name. And my sense is that on both sides of the argument, there are people who will agree with both protagonists. But indulge us. Tell us what the timeline of this story is.
Just to also underscore before I come to that other point, to underscore what you're saying, it is in the nature of matters of this sort that there will always be contestations, including the point that I'm trying to put across. It will obviously be contested. But I think it is always very important that we need to emphasize certain aspects of history as being critically important, particularly as they relate to us and our evolution as a people, right? And that for me is critically important. Going back to what you raised earlier, in terms of where does the whole thing come from? The MK Party, probably this is likely known, it basically emanated from the long-standing grievance that the former President Zuma has with the ANC. And if you look at how the whole MK Party evolved, it was quite interesting. The idea about it probably started much earlier. But what is even more interesting is how they strategically blindsided the ANC in terms of publicizing their names in the government gazette and the local, and the ANC could not see that. You know, they could only realize that later. But what became more important was the launch of the party itself. When was it launched? 16 December 2023. That was on the 62nd anniversary of the real MK, right? So all these things basically clearly shows that there is a contestation of political identity. Because remember, Zuma has consistently been arguing that the ANC that he knows is no longer there. He is consistently using this phrase, the ANC of Ramaphosa, you know. So he is, the MK is actually trying to reposition itself as a true ANC, if I may put it that way. And I think that is where the nub of the contestation, insofar as the question of identity is concerned. But the fact of the matter is, the ANC has been in existence for more than 100 years. The MK became part of a certain intervention that had been made in the evolution of the ANC itself. And therefore, historically, the MK is part of the ANC. And that is historical fact, you know. And the MK party...
But Prof, wouldn't they argue? Wouldn't they argue that, Prof, you're right, the MK as an umkhonto wesizwe, the military wing of the ANC, yes, is part of the ANC, but we have taken that name, evolved that name into a political, to wage a political fight that has been forgotten by the ANC of Ramaphosa. I'm just trying to say, the principled position that you hold about how the political fight between former comrades of the ANC is being waged is fine, but I can tell you these guys fight dirty. I mean, and that is the characteristic, I suppose, of any fight, that people take whatever wins that they can get. I mean, interestingly, former President Jacob Zuma is still a member of the ANC, albeit the ANC of Ramaphosa. So the way that the usurpation, the taking over of this political space is being waged by the MK and former President Jacob Zuma is not one that is asking for a boxing match. This is a street fight. This is, you know, this is not a Queensbury rules fight. This is a street fight. All bets are off, man.
It's a street fight, Aubrey, you're correct. My worry is that the street fight has the potential of distorting history, because by claiming a history which remember, perhaps certain individuals within the MK party, right, may be part of this history that you're talking about, but by being an individual with that history in the ANC does not necessarily mean that the history ought to translate into this new political entity which we have now created. Because my worry is that some of these things, as they emerge, the fight as it plays itself out, has the potential of distorting, right? Not only the history of the ANC, but the history of the liberation struggle of all those who were oppressed. And I'm just a bit worried that at some point, my child, your child, when he is to learn about the history of us as a country, including the history of the ANC, wouldn't they at some point be confused that, but What exactly is this MK? Isn't that we are beginning to see two historical trends in the history of this MK thing? You know, so all what I'm trying to say is that all these things are coming up. Unfortunately, in many ways, according to my own interpretation, all these things are being pursued for political opportunism and nothing else.
Prof, are you not being too optimistic about how political parties should behave? I mean, the last thing I imagine from the MK party or the ANC or any political party, by the way, that wants to claim a portion of the minds of the electorate is the preservation of historical integrity. I mean, the Machiavellian approach to power the prince's duty is to get power and to keep it by all means necessary. What I'm arguing here is that Akshem, to expect the MK party to genuflect before the narrative of history as understood by people who understood the struggle pre the 16th of December, for that reason, for that academic reason and that cultural and that heritage reason alone, is not going to be on the agenda of those people who believe that they've got a more legitimate historical tale than what we have.
That's correct, Aubrey. But that shouldn't in any way give us a leeway, particularly as people perhaps in society who should interpret issues based on the facts. Obviously, political parties will behave whatever way that they will behave for the purpose of enhancing their electoral process. I mean, the history of the ANC is a rich history. Everybody will obviously want to share in that history to enhance its electoral prospects. However, I think it becomes our responsibility as those in society who could still look at facts, analyze them, interpret them, and come to a particular conclusion to make sure that we accept the historicity of where we come from.
Who would be the custodian of the correct version of the historical account in this particular battle, Prof? I mean, I can tell you right now that the guys in the ANC will say, we are the original ANC. We are the rightful repository of the narrative. And therefore, the MK is nothing more than an imposter in all of this. And the MK will say, no, the reason why we emerge, the reason why we seem to be getting a following is because there is a resonance with our narrative of history and the issue that we want to put straight. And you can go back to all of the parties that broke away from the ANC, from the days of the PAC to even Inkatha Freedom Party. Some people will say that Inkatha Freedom Party has no connection to the ANC. Well, I mean, Mshenga was a member of the ANC and he had a particular narrative as far as the liberation struggle is concerned. Bantu Holomisa, when he was with Ruth Meyer, came up with his own when the EFF came up, they came up with their own understanding of the history. So when we speak of wanting to defend the integrity of the narrative, who holds that integrity of the narrative?
Look, from where I am coming from, it is not necessarily to defend a whatever narrative.
Yeah.
All what I'm trying to say is that let's record history as it unfolds. And to that extent, we have got institutions of higher learning that need to play a critically important role in terms of recording history, giving it a kind of an independent interpretation the historians in our university, so forth and so on. Because I often get a sense that we might not really be doing enough to educate our people about where we come from. And I often argue that for us to have a sense of who we are, it is critically important that we need to have a sense of history, a sense of where we come from. And it becomes a critically important role of university to assume thought leadership in terms of making sure that history is properly interpreted, is properly recorded. And of course, Aubrey, there will always be contestations here and there, but those contestations are necessary because out of contestation, a deeper understanding emerges. All what I am actually talking against is a gross distortion of history for political opportunism.
Where is the distortion, Prof? What is the distortion at this point?
A distortion of history comes in when an organization establishes itself today and claims 112 history of another organization, right?
Yeah.
To say that we are the true representative of this history of the people of South Africa. That's where the distortion comes into play. And that is where we have got the responsibility to correct that, to say that, but that cannot be true because you were only established in 2023. We are talking about an organization that came into existence in 1912. And along the way, 16 December 1961, it came with this thing and it gave it this name, it gave it this logo, and all these things are part of the political identity of this organization, which today you are saying that identity doesn't belong to you, or I also want to inscribe myself in that identity. That's the distortion that I'm talking about.
011-883-0702. My guest is Professor Mashupia Herbert Masirumule. We're talking about the article or the opinion piece that he has penned on News 24 entitled The ANC. And Prof, I want to talk about that. The ANC is basically, and I'm paraphrasing, but the title goes, ANC risks distorting the history of liberation struggle at the altar of justice. How then is it doing so, Prof? Because some may say it has to then fight the MK party to keep that proper or the correct historical narrative about the MK. And you're saying that by going to the courts, it is actually losing the plot?
It is risking because remember the courts, the outcome of the court can actually go either way. And inevitably, when the court deal with the matter, it's going to look at it from the lens of the legalese, you know. In other ways, it's going to use the technicality of the legal process to come to a particular conclusion. And like as I said earlier on, my fear is that the entire history of the liberation struggle can actually be rewritten through a stroke of a pen in the court of law. And yet there is so much history that needs to be taken into account. All what I'm trying to say, Aubrey, is that issues of this sort ought to be tackled politically through the analysis of history, not legally. I think that is basically what I'm trying to the point that I'm trying to drive.
What should the ANC have done?
The ANC should have assumed thought leadership on the history of the struggle against apartheid in terms of making sure that they significantly contribute towards a particular understanding of where we are coming from. For God's sake, we are talking about an organization that has been a governing party. And there are many ways that you could actually influence the education of society insofar as its history is concerned. Like as I said, the history of the ANC is inextricably the history of particularly the majority of South Africans who were oppressed in the past. So you influence or maybe influence is the wrong way. You make sure that people have a proper understanding, right, of where they are coming from. They should have assumed thought leadership, but also more importantly, we've got institutions of learning that should also play a critical important role in terms of teaching people about the history of South Africa, the history of where we come from, and what are those interventions that happened over that long history of struggle against apartheid. You might not actually agree with the politics of the ANC. You might actually have a particular ideological inclination to any other political party. But historical facts are there. They need to be interpreted. They need to be given a correct interpretation. And that is where institutions of learning should actually come into play in terms of providing a proper interpretation of our own history.
But then shouldn't the professor's opinion piece have been about intellectual institutions, universities, thought leadership platforms, rather than the political players, because the politicians are going to be politicians. I mean,
politicians will be politicians. You are so right.
And will they not argue that what Professor Masirumule is arguing is he's arguing for an ANC interpretation of the history. And he is calling it the proper. I can almost hear it. What the professor is calling for is an indoctrination, and the formation of the MK party. And I'm, allow me to play devil's advocate here, bro. That the formation of the MK party is precisely what the professor is fighting for. That the true historical account be preserved, otherwise it'll fall prey to the whims of a particular political interpretation of that situation. The ANC of Ramaphosa has become the lackey of capitalist white monopoly capital. You know the story, white monopoly capitalist narrative inventions, and ours as the MK party is to prevent that and to make sure that the true account of the ANC and the MK is preserved for posterity and for the sanity of our children in the future. That's where it's going to go.
Remember what I said earlier on, particularly in your social sciences and humanities, we often used to say that there is nothing like an absolute truth. But the least that we could do also as institution of higher learning, we need to stick to what the facts are saying. In other words, we need to arrive at a particular conclusion largely on the basis of what the facts are saying, not what we want the facts to say. We just have to interpret the facts the way they are, the historical facts the way they are, and come to a particular conclusion. But I guess the point that we're making is very important, political parties will, of course, give their own version of history for their own political opportunism. But institutions of learning must try as much as possible to stick to the truth. And I'm saying that sticking to the truth, fully conscious of the fact that in humanities and social sciences, there is nothing like absolute truth, But all what I'm trying to say is that let us follow a particular methodological approach in terms of interpretation of facts and arrive at a particular conclusion. And that will greatly assist in terms of making sure that people start to fully appreciate and understand how things happened in the past, why did they happen, so forth and so on. And that, for me, becomes critically important. In other words, your institution of learning are critically important in terms of making sure that they shape the evolution of society. They shape the understanding of society when coming to certain important aspects that will greatly assist in terms of trying to imagine the future. So that's all what I'm trying to say. And I think the point that you are making is to emphasize the fact that the institution of higher learning ought to really assert their position of always try to be driven by what is the fact and come to a particular conclusion based on the analysis of the facts as they are, right? Yeah. So, I guess we are on the same page.
I've asked you what is the true narrative. Now I want to ask you, what is the error? What is the error that we run the risk of adopting as the truth if, as you say in your article, that the ANC has not dealt with this issue politically? What is the error that can emerge out of this situation that can taint, I suppose, the historic narrative? What is the error?
The potential risk, Aubrey, is that court of law interpret law, and based on the technicalities of the legal processes, they may arrive at a particular conclusion which may not necessarily take into account the entire history which accounts for a particular political identity. It is not the function of the courts to interpret history. The courts are there to interpret the law. But the issue before the courts, as we speak now, the issue about name and logo, so much implicate the history of the liberation movement. So the danger is that a decision could just simply be arrived at, or rather the entire history of the liberation struggle could actually be rewritten at the stroke of a pen, wherein the court may prescribe history through the technicality of the legal process and not narrative analysis for accurate reconstruction of the past. And I think that is where the possibility of the error that we are talking about may actually arise.
Give us a call, 011-883-0702. Professor Mashupia Masirumule is my guest. He's talking about some of the ideas he expresses in his opinion piece found in News 24 entitled ANC Risks Distorting the History of Liberation Struggle at the Altar of Justice. What do you make of this argument? What do you make of his line of thought, his logic? I'd be interested to hear your thoughts about that on 011-883-0702. I agree with you. I think that the ANC vested too much effort too late. Or let's go too little too late.
Too little, too late.
First of all, they should have had their eye on the ball as far as what was gazetted in terms of this kind of thing. And again, they were outmaneuvered by the MK folks. Two, I think that as soon as the announcement was made by former President Jacob Zuma, they dilly-dallied too long. And I suppose that he knows them too well, does Jacob Zuma, to know that during the festive season, people don't like to work and people don't like to think too hard. And so and that was a critical time for the ANC to be decisive about what it is trying to do. It seems to have woken up 2-3 months later. By that time, the MK party had gained enough momentum. The question becomes, is the momentum gained because there is a legitimate story by the MK party that people are resonating with? Or it's because the ANC has done so badly at the game of politics, relying purely on the idea that it is the custodian of history, right? that the ANC has done very badly at the game of the chess, game of politics, the playing of the game, that and it relied, unfortunately, on what the professor is talking about, the true narrative of history. When this is a street fight, Baba, you're playing with the big boys now, and you can't rely on this idea of the true story, because the true story is only as true as how loud I can make it, how many media companies I can buy, how many, whatever the... Whatever the knife fight is at that moment, the ANC brought a knife at a gunfight, and they are being outgunned right now. And the fact of the matter is that whatever argument, academic argument, we can put on the table to try and express a political opinion is still part of, all's fair in war and love, I would imagine Sholozi would argue, and that the boys at the ANC don't understand how to fight. I imagine that's what he's going to say.
Give it to him. Sholozi knows how to fight, and give it to him. He outsmarted the ANC in many ways.
And that's what politics is.
That's what politics is, and that's the practice of politics.
Yeah.
But also, I think we need to make sure that the theory of politics is not distorted, or the history is not distorted. The practice of it can go either way, because it's a street fight,
yeah.
But the facts cannot just simply be changed by a street fight. A fact will remain a fact. It doesn't matter how many millions of people disagree with you, because millions of people could actually disagree with you, only to find that they are actually wrong. And few people could actually be correct, So all what I'm trying to say is that in the theater of politics, obviously, the fight is like, as you characterized it earlier, a street fight, but in the sphere of ideas, we need to try as much as possible to make sure that we interpret the facts, we tell the true story insofar as the history of the liberation struggle is concerned, and we tell the story not from any particular ideological standing. We tell the story on the basis of what the facts are saying. And the true story is not necessarily the story that will actually be played out there in the real theater of politics.
Nzunzu Mahlangu Mulete says, "Hi, Aubrey. I think Prof is missing the point here. This is the history of the liberation struggle of South Africa will cover all the so-called splinter groups, including the PAC, the IFP, COPE, EFF, MK Party, and others that may follow. Sadly, his sentiments are not shared by the ANC. There have been enough lessons before the MK Party, but the ANC chooses to remain indifferent, and that is from Rhodes."
Look, and thanks for that comment. Obviously, yes, all parties will be part of the history of South Africa, but here we are talking about history as it evolved at a particular epoch in the history of the country itself, that a party that emerged today will go back and try to claim that history, that when it was made, the idea about that party was not even there, right? So it's a question of talking about the history of the liberation struggle, but in this particular case, I think we are talking about it in the context of a particular historical epoch of going back to 1961. You pick up a name, you pick up the logo, and you use that name and the logo for a party which has just been established now. And you are saying that this party is a true representation of that which happened in 1961. In other words, that which happened long before you could even become an idea. Right? And that is where the issue is.
I'm taking some calls. Israel is in East Rand. Good evening to you, Israel. Hello, Israel. Israel in the East Rand. Good evening to you.
Well, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Israel. What is on your mind?
It's not Israel, it's Bongani. I'm sure they put the gave your wrong name. It's Bongani.
Well,
Bongani.
My apologies. I have Israel on my screen. Bongani, go ahead.
Yes, I have a good evening. How are you? Just need to ask. I heard you on your earlier interview at 8 or around 9 earlier on. About the conviction, I don't know if I'm wrong or what, but I needed to ask from the side of the prof. When the IEC was implemented, it was just now after the apartheid era, of which right now, if the IEC ruling for today to say Zuma can't be the MK, he can't be the face of the MK due to the criminal record of 15 months. But the guy was being, he was in Robert Island for 10 years, and then he was being elected as a ANC or a president in 2008 until 2009 until 2017. The IEC was not aware of that.
I hear you, Bongani, but this is not the conversation at the moment. But I hear you. Okay. You're basically asking that if the issue is Zuma was incarcerated and therefore he can't be on the ballot. He was, in fact, incarcerated for 10 years, and why don't they talk about that? But I imagine it's got to do with the fact that it is as per the issues that happen after the adoption of the Constitution.
The adoption of the Constitution.
Yeah, after the adoption of the Constitution, because then if that was the case, Nelson Mandela couldn't have gone to, couldn't have been president. I hear you. Let's hear what the professor has to say. Prof, I'm not sure whether, of course, this is not part of this conversation, but I suppose in a way it is.
Fine. Yeah? It's fine. Yeah, Aubrey, you are spot on. Remember, Zuma's matter is actually being dealt with in terms of the current constitution, the legal frame, the primary legal frame for the country, the current constitution of 1996, which is very clear that if you you were convicted without an option of fine for more than 12 months, and in this case, Zuma was actually convicted in 2021. And it was more than it was around about 15 months, and that is where the whole thing actually come into play. However, the matter has been debated in a court of law. I did not really have an opportunity to follow the proceedings, from what I could actually sense is that the judgment will be issued very soon, tomorrow.
Yeah,
you know, it will
tomorrow,
be very interesting. I'm here to read the legal arguments, you know, so I didn't really follow the case.
But essentially
the answer is that Zuma's matter is dealt with according to the current constitution of the Republic of South Africa, which is very clear insofar as his situation is concerned.
So ultimately, Prof, how would you have preferred this matter? And I know you've said we should have handled this. The ANC should have handled this politically. Right. And I imagine that the MK would have said, yeah, sure. You know, let's do it. That's what we were actually calling for. You started this fight. We didn't. All right. How exactly do you propose the ANC should have done this? I've heard your argument about thought leadership, but exactly how would that have played itself out? Former President Thabo Mbeki and former, I think, minister head of Nadim Simang, forget what portfolio he holds. Remember, he resigned and then he unresigned him. He's been making certain political statements at various platforms. Mm-hmm. How exactly do you think the ANC should have acted in this particular situation?
Aubrey, the ANC firstly had an advantage of being a governing party. And secondly, I don't really think that they've been doing much in terms of, going back to what you said, I said, they should have assumed thought leadership on matters that relates to the history of the liberation struggle.
Yeah.
In other words, when they appear, because they've got the advantage of public platform, right? You need each and every leader of the ANC to clearly seize that moment to educate South Africans about the history of where they are actually coming from. In any case, most of these things that we're talking about ought to be part of what we call civic education, which will obviously include so many things. And this is something which is lacking, in South Africa. We have not really invested so much in what we call civic education, wherein even kids from the kindergarten will have a sense of their country's history. Because in our case, some students start to interact with the constitution of the Republic of South Africa at the level of a university. You know, but if you go to other countries, kids are actually being taught about their history, about their constitution, about how to put the country first. You know, so that is something which is lacking, and we need to really.
But Prof, would we not be accusing the ANC then of indoctrination?
Not at all.
Yeah.
Because what I'm saying is, yes, the ANC has its own role to play, but also within society, the ops. Mm. We do have institution of learning that must also play their role, because the whole notion of civic education that I'm talking about, it ought to happen within the context of a university.
I'm almost certain that the ANC would argue that we are damned if we do, we're damned if we don't. And there lies, I suppose, the political genius of Umsholozi. That he has put them in this particular position.
In a corner.
In this corner where whatever reply they give, they lose.
I would have thought that they will actually win this battle at the level of the political discourse.
Prof?
I thought that they will actually win it at the level of the political discourse. You defend your own history. As a liberation movement, you don't abdicate that to the cause of love, right? Assume thought leadership on your own history. Win the debate at the level of a political discourse. That's
Prof,
what I thought they would do.
Wonderful, wonderful conversation. Thank you so much for your thoughts on this one, and I appreciate you coming through to come and talk to us.
You're most welcome. Thank
much
you
appreciated.
So much.
Professor Mashupia Herbert Masirumule of the University of Tshwane University of Technology.